Hallelujah. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. And then also put a marker in Mark 16. And this is a macro again. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Now turn over one chapter to Proverbs 18:24. It says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." But this is the main part I want us to see. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now we all know that's ultimately referring to Jesus. Amen. He is the brother. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And actually he has made us his brethren. Nobody loves you like Jesus. But I got to tell you, it's a rare thing to find any approximation of that love in people. Sorry. And especially in ministers. But I'm here to testify that Dave Roberson has been a friend like that to me. We were an absolute wreck, Sue and I, the day that we walked through the doors of this church. Absolute wreck. It's a wonder we could find a chair without walking into walls. I mean, they should have sold t-shirts. They could have got rich, I think, in those days if they had a t-shirt, because they should have had printed on it, and Sue and I would have been the first ones to buy it. Strongholds are us. False doctrine. Been taught from pulpits, full of hurts and wounds and not knowing how to get rid of them, just trying to survive with them. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And those wounds and hurts, they manifest in all kinds of ways. You know, with us, smoking, and it was one of the things we used to soothe our emotions. And I could just go on and on, but that was a visible one. And Tim also, I just got to include Tim and Leah. They've also been tremendous friends to us. Now, they've loved us in completely different ways. How God manifests his love through Dave is very different than how God manifests his love through Tim. I got to tell you, I have learned as much from Tim, really, as I have from Dave, but it's been in a different way. Dave comes by revelation and by, can I just say love? I don't know how else to say it, that atmosphere that he walks in. Tim loves through God's wisdom. And when you need it, boy, a lot of people are your friends when everything's going right. But boy, when you need a friend, when everything's going wrong, and the last thing you need at that time is a yes man. You need someone who will speak the truth in love. And your emotions don't always like that right at that minute. Mine doesn't either. But I don't need somebody patty-caking me to keep me in my error. I need someone who loves me enough to tell me the truth so I can get out of my error. And at the same time will be long-suffering with me and give me time to process. Well, what process? How about praying in tongues? How about meditating the Word? How about loving me in spite of my failures, like my Jesus does? I got to tell you, I've got flaws in me that makes me... Trouble is, I know them. Sue knows them. You don't. So you probably think of me more highly than I think of myself, you know. That's the way it is with most people, I think. But I know them. And God, when Sue and I prayed for that lady, and God would heal her through our little prayer, knowing how flawed we are. What message does that have? Gary, get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about him. And it's about lost, sick, hurting people. It's about Doug's message, right where you are, flaws and all, are you submitting to Him? Because He has work for you to do today with your flaws. And as we are more conformed to that image, I think there'll be more work, higher things that He can use us in, but that doesn't excuse us from letting us use us today. Now, we're going to look at Peter real quick. Go to Mark 16 now, the life of Peter. He's been showing me so many things about Peter this last few months. We're going to lick the ice cube today. I think Peter, I love Peter. Don't you love Peter? We all can relate with him, you know. Peter was the guy that everybody else was thinking it. Peter was the one that would say it. You know, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. All the rest of them are thinking it. Peter says, we forsook everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? I love Peter, you know. Love Peter. Everybody else was thinking it. Don't tell me they weren't thinking it. And Jesus loved Peter too. And that time when he asked him, he says, you know, he says, I have many things to say to you, you know. You're not able to bear them now. And Peter's going, Lord. And right in there he says, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you anywhere. I love you, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Peter, this very night, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And I know in Peter's heart, he thought, there's no way. There isn't any way that I'll do that. And I don't have, we're not going to get into the details of that. But you know what happened? Sure enough, they arrested Jesus. Peter tried to stop them, you know. Peter was the one that, you talk about loving Jesus, he's ready to take on the whole army by himself. He was. He drew out his sword. Do you think he was aiming for the guy's ear? He was aiming for his neck. He was going to cut that guy's head off, and the guy had swerved somehow. But he was trying to stop them from arresting Jesus. See, yes, sir. Now we'll get it. We'll get into this detail whenever the Lord lets us. See, Peter still didn't believe, not in his heart, what Jesus had told him was going to happen. Jesus had told him early on, he says, the Son of Man's going to be arrested, he's going to be ill-treated, and he's going to die, going to be crucified. You remember what Peter said? This is not a test, it's okay. He said, no, this will, in the Greek, it actually says he squared off against Jesus, stood in front of him and said, this will not happen to you. And basically, you could have added, now I think he was saying, not as long as I live. This will not happen to you. I'm going to keep it from happening to you. And Jesus did everything in the world trying to convince Peter, which that's the part that we can't get in today or we'll be here all day. The lengths that Jesus went trying to get Peter to come around and believe. But you can tell by what happened in the garden. He still, no, this is not going to happen. Pulled out his sword. So, you know, Tried to cut off the head of one of those guards. I guess he was going to take on the whole army. Now tell me Peter didn't love Jesus. He did. Jesus tells him right there, he says, Peter, if I wanted to get out of this, he says, don't do this. If I wanted to get out of this, I could get out of it easily. I could ask my Father, and he would send 12 legions. It's 10,000 in a legion. That's where I get the 10 mixed up. 12 legions, and I think each legion had 10,000. 120,000 angels. How much of a match would that little Roman group be against one angel, much less 120,000 angels? He says, I can get out of this, Peter, if I wanted to. I told you this was coming, basically. I told you. Well, Peter put up his sword. But sure enough, that during the we're not going to get into all of the coming close to Christmas. I guess we'll tell it then, you know. But how they arrested him and took him before the Pilate and took him all these different places. And sure enough, finally somebody, during that whole course of the trial, they recognized Peter standing around the fire. Said, ha, I've seen you with him. You're surely one of his disciples. Peter said, no, I don't know the man. Peter denied the Lord, denied that he knew him. A little while, somebody else, or maybe that same person, I don't remember without looking it up again, but the second time. No, you are. I know that I have seen you with him. You are one of his disciples. And what did Peter do the second time? Nope, you're mistaken. I don't know the man. I do not know Jesus. Finally, the third time he was accused again, and this time it says, doesn't tell us what he said, but it said, with an oath. Basically, he cussed. I am telling you, Zama Zama, I do not know the man. I deny that I know Jesus. And right at that instant, when he did it the third time, he heard the cock crow. And in every one of the Gospels it says, and he remembered what Jesus said. And he wept bitter tears. Now, I've tried to meditate, tried to put myself in Peter's shoes for the next hours, the next day or two. Because all of the disciples left except John. For fear of the Jews, all of them hid except John. John was standing there at the cross. So was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus looks down at John. He says, behold thy mother. Meaning, I'm charging you with the care of my mother after I'm gone. But Peter was not there to be found. And I wondered during those hours, what kind of agony of soul was he going through? I told the Lord I loved him. I promised I'd follow him to the ends of the earth. Now I've denied him, and I've denied him three times. I've denied him publicly. And I denied him with an oath. You think the enemy would come against Peter and said, it's over for you? What would you think, you know? Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is a friend that was born for adversity. And at your darkest hour, I'm telling you, you can turn to your friend. He has not, you may have forsaken him. He has not forsaken you. He is still there. Now, the reason I've had you turn to Mark, there's incredible revelation here about the heart of Jesus concerning Peter, even after Peter has denied him. So let's look and see what it is here. Mark 16, starting in verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They're talking about Jesus at his grave. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. It was already rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white garment, and they were affrighted. King James. It scared them. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. In other words, look, you can see for yourself. Now here's the verse I want you to get. But go your way. Now notice how this is phrased. Tell his disciples and Peter. During this period of time, Peter had to be there in agony of soul. I've denied the Lord. He's probably forsaken me now. I'm no longer a disciple. I wonder what he thinks of me. I know he was repentant of heart, don't you? But that angel was conveying the mind of Christ and the heart of Jesus. Boy, he made sure that those people, the ones that were there, he made sure they understand that when you go and you give this, you give it to the disciples. And don't forget Peter. Peter was still on his heart. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he said to you. Peter, finally, I think at that moment, when he finally heard that, you know, and he ran when he heard the news later. I didn't look this up, but you know, he ran with John, if I remember right, to the sepulcher. When they got there, or John hesitated a moment, who ran right on in? Our Peter. Peter, the only one of the disciples that we have record of that denied the Lord, other than Judas, denied the Lord and did it out loud, publicly. His two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, have become two of my most precious possessions. I thank God for those letters because I try and connect them up now with the man who was weeping bitter tears after he denied the Lord. Full of care, full of worry. And the enemy, no doubt, was pouring it on, boy. Well, it's over for you. There's no hope for you. You have denied the one and only Lord. On and on and on, I'm sure it went. And yet, Jesus never lost faith in him and made sure that Peter was in that group of his disciples and let him know he was forgiven too. So then when I read Peter's letters, and Peter's the one that says, cast the whole of your care upon him. You remember the next few words? For he cares for you. And that's on your worst day. That's on your worst day of your life. When in your mind, and probably not just in your mind, you failed the Lord as big as you're ever going to fail him. And Peter learned you can still trust him. He cares for you. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I was halfway kidding earlier, and I don't know whether that'll be left on the tape, so let me just say for a little while we got blessed with the ministry of Halo Jordan here at the beginning of this service. And they did it a cappella, so I don't know if it recorded well enough to be on the message. But while I was watching them and they were giving the testimony of how God was using them these last few weeks, I got to say it, even in Big Nose Kate's saloon in Tombstone, Arizona, winning people to Jesus. I was remembering this DVD that they had given me when they were in the world. The Twisters. Trying for fame and fortune. The exact opposite. And the thing of it is, if I remember the testimony right, Red had been serving the Lord before then. And in a way had done a Peter thing. Gone back to the world. Peter at one point says, I'm going fishing. Y'all remember that? So while I was watching them minister here, I was remembering sitting at home watching that DVD of them when they were the Twisters. And I was thinking, oh, Jesus, what was your heart towards them right then? He wasn't looking at them as the Twisters. He was looking at them as his children. Prodigals at the moment. And if you'll allow me, every day he was going to the window of heaven, looking out down that dusty road. Maybe today's the day My boy Red's coming home. Maybe today, Aaron's coming home. And he never gave up on him. Never gave up on me. And I've done worse than them. Now listen. If you're here in this church building or you're listening around the world, I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you have stood up and denied the Lord. And if you've done it publicly, I don't care, and He doesn't care. What He cares about is what you're going to do today. His arms are wide open. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll humble yourself and submit yourself back to Him, that blood of Jesus is there to cleanse you, forgive you. Remember what He did with the prodigal? It wasn't just like, okay, I'll receive you into my house and now you'll be my servant. No, no, no. That's what religion wanted. God said, you bring my boy here. I don't care that he's been in the world. I don't care that he denied me and lived that way. You bring him here. He's returned home to me. You put a robe on him. You put my sandals on his feet. You put my ring on his finger so everybody knows he's of my house. Kill the fatted calf. My son who was dead is returned unto me. And all of heaven celebrates. Don't wait. Return to your Father's house today. And then now one other thing. JT has recently returned. He was like the last of the prodigals. I don't know how many times over these years that Red and I have agreed. And I know Patty just wasn't there to be the same, haven't we? Says, well, I don't know when. But I know someday JT's coming home. He's out there in the world. God's love doesn't quit. You talk about a friend. A father's and a mother's love is wonderful. But the love of God is so much even deeper than that. So I'm telling you now, if you've got a son, if you've got a daughter that's out there in the world right now, I've got a grandson that I'm calling in right now. God, his boy's got a lot of seed in him. I mean, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Doesn't mean like the prodigal, he may not go taste the world for a while. But that incorruptible seed, if it's in there, JT, it may take a while. But someday it bears fruit, doesn't it? Come back home. Let God use those gifts he's given you. The fields are white to harvest. I believe that. I'm having a good time in church. I don't know whether you are. God is faithful. He is love. He holds out his hand and he's so trying to get that love in us. And that's, I didn't understand for years until Dave broke it for us, you know, Luke 6. I thought there was only one verse in Luke 6 because of the TV preachers. I only thought there was one verse in it. That was verse 38. Give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. I thought that was the only verse in there, really, you know. And then Dave, he takes us to the end of the chapter and he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And I'm going, well, we should do the things that he says. And then Dave says, well, if we could just find some of his sayings, maybe there's some in this very chapter. You know how he does it? So he takes us back to verse 27. He says, what? Jesus says, I say unto you, I say. Perhaps this is one of his sayings. I love our pastor. What an anointing he has to teach. So different. So wonderful. I say unto you, okay, now we're going to find out the blessings. We're going to find the sayings of Jesus, and my house is going to be built on a rock, and no matter what the devil throws, my house will stand. Okay, what is this blessing you're going to say to me, Jesus? And he says, love your enemies. What? What? Oh, and do good to those, and pray for them. And finally, he got it across to me. It took a while, because I was so brainwashed by false teaching. Be nice. Finally, to get it across. See, normally when we're being mistreated by the world and they're slapping us and taking away our money and suing you in court and calling you everything but a nice person, our prayers normally, because we're so immature, is, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. I'm being so persecuted. Oh God, help me. But God's looking down from heaven, and from His perspective, you're His child. You've already escaped from darkness to light. Your eternal destiny is heaven and not hell. But that guy slapping you, or woman, could be that person that's abusing you and treating you bad and suing you, and that's from God's point of view. That person, if they're lost, they're the one that's in trouble. They're the one destined for hell. His heart is looking for someone mature enough that can love that person in spite of what that person is doing to them. Hello, mature people. Why do you think He's had us here for years, purging us of strongholds, purging us of love of money, purging us of love of self, if you'll allow me, to get us to the point where we can at least begin to feel His love for that sinner, no matter what they are doing to you? That person is one that Christ died for too. He's looking for someone. Are you the one? They're slapping Him and kicking Him and taking away His money and all this. I'm talking about people now. You know, they're being real. And the thing of it is, they're the ones that's lost. And He's going, have I found one dead enough that can love that guy and pray for him and do good to him? Just like I asked, have I found? Says, no, I'm going to sue him. No. That's been the whole body of Christ. So immature, we cannot understand the heart of God, that real love of God, to the point that He can use us like He wants to use us. And we're all somewhere along that path. Now, for me, my mind is made up. I don't see, trust me, I wear out one or two of these a year. The Bible I'm talking about. I have not found any other way that I can place myself into the hands of the teacher. And I'm not talking about Dave now, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I have searched and searched. If there is any other path, I have not found it. Gary, how are you going to change and let more of God flow through you? How are you going to change? The message that comes from this place about praying in tongues, mortifying the flesh through fasting and prayer, meditation of the Word, hearing the voice of God, and then maturing to the place where you are dead enough to obey the voice of God. I don't know any other plan. I haven't found any other way. If I did, I'd be doing that. This is it. I feel like sometimes I get frustrated too. Sometimes I want to just, how do you say that nice? Too darn with all of you. Is that clean enough? You don't think we don't feel like that? I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to make a living, retire. I'm old enough. Nobody'd say nothing. Well, just kill me now. There's nothing in me that desires that. See, sometimes I get frustrated, but you know who I feel like then? Jesus turned around to His disciples one day. He frustrated everybody with what He said. Unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no life in you. And to a Jew, eat, drinking blood, come on. And most of them left. Jesus went running after them, trying to get them back. No? Oh, good, you read your Bible too. No, He didn't go running after them. What did He do? He turned around to the 12 and said, what about you boys? There's the door. And you know what they responded? Where would we go? Where would we go? And that's, I 20 some odd years we've been here, and can't even tell you the number of times I got frustrated. Just go back down to the first church where they tell me I'm okay. I would starve smooth to death there, and you would too. Where are you going to go? since this is the year of selling out to him, and we're almost through with the year, you know, November is on, upon us, quick. What if we really, the next 2 months, I know we're going to be busy with holidays and stuff. Man, I'm hoping I can force old Gary, get that Gary guy more into prayer and seeking the Lord. Because there is no other way. There is no other path. I don't know anywhere else. Just yield to the Holy Ghost. Bow before Him. Surrender all that we know how and let Him take us to places where we've never been before. But don't ever forget this message today. See, you're saying, I hear it right now. I hear it. Somebody listening either here or somehow you're listening and you're going, it's too late for me. No, it's not. Remember Peter, who publicly denied the Lord, publicly stood up and denied Him with an oath, and still the Lord received him back. Don't say it's too late. It's not too late. And you can return today. Is that good or what? Is that good or what? Now, I know I'm usually preaching to the choir here, but I'm going to just take a moment. I'm just going to ask, just everyone, if you don't mind, close your eyes, bow your head just for a moment, just in case. We have a prodigal here today. We have someone that, or maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you're visiting here today or somebody brought you. But if you don't know for sure that Jesus is your Savior and that you are born again and on your way to heaven, if you don't know that for sure, would you mind to raise your hand? Let us pray with you. I'm looking. These new lights make it hard to see here. I hardly ever give an altar call because a teacher's ministry is normally to believers. But when he prompts me, there's usually someone there. All right. Well, in line with the message today, if you're backslidden and know you're backslidden, maybe the enemy's been telling you, like I'm sure he told Peter, it's too late for you. I hope you can see from the message, it's not too late. If you're backslidden and you want to just read, what we used in the old Baptist church, we'd call it rededicate. Just rededicate to the Lord. If that's you, if you'd raise your hand, we'll pray with you. Yes, we've got one. I see that hand. You don't even have to come up here. I'm not going to ask you to come up. I love honest people. So does the Lord. And then one other. I got one other to call here now. If you've got a prodigal out there, child, a grandchild, a brother, a sister, a parent, a loved one of any kind, if you've got a prodigal and you'd like for us to join you in prayer for that prodigal right now, would you lift your hand? I'm lifting mine. I've got one. I've got one. Yes, we've got them all over the building. Got them all over the building. Father, you see these hands. First, Lord, you saw the heart of that honest person that raised their hands, and then, oh, they're backslidden, Lord. Father, first of all, for that one and any others that may be listening, your word says, return unto me, O backslider. And I will abundantly pardon. I will forgive. Wash your sins whiter than snow. Just like he received Peter again, he'll receive you. Just say with me in your heart. Say, Father. Everybody say it. Just so nobody's embarrassed. Say, Father, I return to you today. Look behind me. And wash everything away. By the blood of Jesus that did not bring you glory. Wash me fresh in the blood of the Lamb. Receive me again into your good pleasure. You are mine and I am yours. And from this day forward, I'll serve you with all that I know how. Help me serve you even more. Amen. Now for all of those prodigals, Father, your word declares that you're abundant in mercy, that the Lord is merciful, long-suffering, gracious, and kind. Father, your word declares that you believe in household salvations, Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Father, you saw all of those hands go up for all of those loved ones. Father, we're asking you now for a dispatch of angels. Father, dispatch those angels on assignment, creating atmospheres around those people that makes them receptive to the truth. Father, let your Holy Spirit, that presence that brings such manifestation of your love, let that surround them, Lord, where they feel your love even before they've received it. And then, Father, we're asking you, send laborers into the harvest. Father, track down every single one, every person. Track them down, Lord, by your Spirit. Father, send laborers into the harvest. People that are trained, handpick them, Lord, handpick them. Match them up person to person so that the one that they will receive from, that's the one that you connect them with. But Father, we call every one of those prodigals, we call them returned. We call them returned to their father's house, restored to full inheritance, just like you did the prodigal that we see in Luke. Restored fully, Father, not just servants in your house, but children of your delight. Children robed in righteousness, clothed with all your goodness, restored in every way. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that prayer, please say, amen. Hallelujah.